855-1912 or visit...
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Gary Brownfield Show, starring Gary Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, now the man who asks, what is a free gift? Aren't all gifts free? Gary Brownfield.
Hello there, Jeff Thomas here, sitting in for Gary Brownfield. But just like he, I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is the talk show, the country flavor, and some common sense points of view. My guest today is Alfred Addisk. Many of our listeners are familiar with Alfred. Many are hearing his name for the first time. Alfred Addisk is a writer, researcher, even a radio host from time to time, and lone editor of the anti-shyster online magazine. Alfred has been studying legal reform issues for over 20 years. Personally, I find his articles very interesting, very thought-provoking. I always learn something after reading one of Alfred's articles, and quite honestly, I often talk to myself for days on end after reading one of his articles. Alfred, it's a pleasure to have you as a guest on the Common Sense Coalition. How are you this morning?
Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad to be here. I just want to warn you, though, you know, if you read enough of those articles, it doesn't only make you talk to yourself. Some people say it makes hair grow on the palms of your hands. So you have to be a little bit careful.
Well, you're right. There's some volatile stuff in some of those articles, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, is some of the articles that you've written and some of the things that provoke my thoughts. But before we get into some of that, Alfred, the Dick Simcannon case was a case that had many captivated. It didn't have everyone captivated because not everyone heard about the Dick Simcannon case. And you've read over 1,000 pages of the trial transcript. You've poured hundreds of hours into studying what went down in the courtroom. And I would hope that you could give us some of your analysis on the Dick Simcannon case. But before we do, maybe we should take listeners back to the beginning and explain who Dick Simcannon is. Now, it started when, I'm sure it started many years ago, but it started in 2001 when he, among other people, put his name and picture in the USA Today ad sponsored by We the People Foundation to educate American businesses by saying, hey, you know what, there's a tax honesty movement out here that says that there is no legal requirement to withhold taxes from the private sector workers in the states of the union, and that was essentially his declaration, and really he became more involved and grew in the tax honesty movement after that. But what he also did was put himself in the sights of the IRS.
Yeah, he was, I don't think Mr. Simcannon, and I know Dick Simcannon, I've met him a couple of times, we're not good buddies, but we're acquaintances, and I mean, we have similar mindset and the rest of it. Dick had a plastics injection company over in Irving, Texas, had about 50, 60 employees. He was probably a modest millionaire, probably had a net worth in terms of $1 million to $5 million, somewhere in there is my guess, although I don't know that to be true, but he has a factory for 20 years. He began to realize that withholding was probably not lawful, not required, all right, as an employer. And he announced to the IRS, and he announced to the public that he was going to stop withholding. And he thought he had legal reason to do so. He'd studied the law for 6-7 years, reached the conclusion that he didn't talk to a number of other people, agreed with his conclusion, that he shouldn't be responsible for collecting the withholding out of his employees' paychecks. And if they want to send it in, they can, and if they don't, they don't. That was their business, but he didn't think it was proper for him to be doing it. I don't think he knew what he was getting into. He thought this was simply, I think he started this out simply as a personal quest, and he was going to kind of absolve himself from whatever paperwork obligations were associated with withholding. But I don't think he realized that withholding is the fundamental, it's the backbone of the individual income tax. The reason being, if the government doesn't get their cut off every American worker and salaried person's check before we get to cash that check, I guarantee you we're going to spend the money. And come April 15th, if I had a check coming in every week for, say, $1,000, And the government takes out $250 off the top, and they retain that, and that's sent in the government as withholding. And in fact, I only get $750. All right, I got my $750. I live on it. And the government's got their $250. But if you give me the full $1,000 check, I guarantee you I'm going to spend it. Now, I may pretend I'm going to save it, but you know as well as I do, come April 15th, I'm going to be just as broke as I was last April 15th.
Sure.
And I'm not going to have the money to send to the government. Which means that withholding is the linchpin of the whole individual income tax. If something were to happen to withholding, if that were successfully challenged, the Internal Revenue System would essentially go down in a matter of maybe 3-5 years. Because employers would stop collecting withholding, employees would stop paying it. What are they going to do when 50 million people can't pay their withholding tax or can't pay their income tax on April 15th? They can't prosecute, they can't jail. The income tax would become a lie. And the point is that Tim Cannon therefore posed a mortal threat to the IRS. And I don't think he understood that. Well, they got into it, and the IRS had to put him down. And before they were done, that's just what they did. But Tim Cannon gave them a very serious run for their money. They tried to indict him once. And Tim Cannon spoke in front of a grand jury and explained the law as he understood it, and the grand jury refused to indict him. Federal government came back a second time and said, all right, we're going to take him in front of a different grand jury and we'll indict him again. Again, Tim Cannon spoke to the grand jury and he told them what he believed the law to be, and he showed them why he was no longer collecting withholding, and the second grand jury refused to indict him. So the government took him in front of a third grand jury. And this time, they wouldn't let Tim Cannon speak to the grand jury. And the grand jury, without hearing Tim Cannon's side, issued a bill of indictment. Then they took him to the first trial. And the first trial, for reasons that weren't clearly related to Tim Cannon, resulted in a hung jury. The jury didn't find him not guilty, but they couldn't find him guilty either of any one of 29 charges. It finally got to a second trial, and in the context of the second trial, the jury did find him guilty on all 29 charges, and he was recently sentenced this last Friday, 7 years in prison, which is double what the guidelines call for as a maximum. Now, the point here is the government had to put him down, and so they did. Well, I don't think anybody could have saved him.
Hey, Alfred, we need to take a break. We'll okay. Do it. We'll be right back.
This is the Jerry Brownfield Show.
For too many years, we've been in a debt money system, and it's long past time to convert to a wealth money system. In his book, Down on the Farm, Economic News for Agriculture, Byron Dale explains how to actually create wealth by monetizing labor to build roads and highways. Not only will this create wealth, but will also help to get us out of debt. It sounds simple because it is simple. Down on the Farm is so easy to read and understand, it should be in the hands of everyone that ever put their hands on money. To put a copy in your hands, send $10 per copy to Down on the Farm, Post Office Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. That's Down on the Farm, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Despite the recent volatility in precious metals, United States gold commemorative coin prices remain calm. The reason is simple. Economics 101. The law of supply and demand. They haven't minted these coins for 100 years. And Swiss America reports that growing collector demand upon a very limited supply is pushing prices up. Regardless of what happens in precious metals, Lewis and Clark gold coins, minted in 1904, are very popular because this year marks the 200th anniversary of the expedition. Read up all about these fascinating coins in a U.S. Gold commemorative report free by calling 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUYCOIN. F-O-I-N. So the next time a market volatility hits, you can relax knowing your rare gold coins provide stability and growth. Call 1-800-289-2646.
Terry Brownfield here. You know it's a fact that our founding forefathers continually acknowledged the Creator God in the shaping and preservation of our nation. I want you and your friends, your family, and your church family to see a very important video presentation called Nation Adrift. It's important to see because it will illustrate how the forces of humanism have attacked America's foundation of faith. This is an excellent source for anyone who wants to know the truth about our nation's rich history and heritage. Nation Adrift should be shown in every classroom in America, so buy one for your local school library and donate it as a gift. Nation Adrift will show you how God's hand of providence guided our forefathers as they forged the greatest and most prosperous nation in history. To order Nation Adrift, just send $24 check, cash, or money order to Nation Adrift, Post Office Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. For credit card orders, call toll-free 1-800-201-7892, extension 23.
And we're back. Jeff Thomas in for Jerry Brownfield today. My guest is Alfred Annis. We're talking about the Dixon Cannon trial. And he got 7 years, double the maximum allowed by law. Now, Alfred, in our last segment, you said that the IRS had to put him down because of the threat that he represented to them, and put him down they did. So if Dick is innocent and the law is clear, what happened?
Well, Dick made it. Look, first, he underestimated the political importance of the stand he was taking. That was an enormous error. And the second mistake is he stopped the first two indictments by doing his own talking. After the government got the third indictment, Dick, I think, panicked. I can't tell you this is the truth of the story, but my guess is that he felt, oh my gosh, what am I into? And he took an attorney. When the attorney stepped in, he brought in a defense called the good faith defense. And it was, you read the pretrial detention hearing transcript for this case, and there's a couple thousand pages. I've been through 1,000 pages so far. There's probably 2,000 pages anyway in the not in all of the motions, the rest of it. I've read all the transcripts. When you read the pretrial detention hearing transcript, and you hear the attorney announce for the first time that they're going to use a good faith defense, the judge is obviously surprised. And he says, you're going to what? Essentially. All right, I'm paraphrasing here to kind of simplify. But he says, you're going to what? And they say, oh, we're going to make good faith defense. And the judge asks the prosecutor, he says, Mr. Jarvis, what do you think about this? And Mr. Jarvis, the prosecuting attorney, says, well, if they're going to have a good faith defense, that means they're not going to be able to get most of the evidence in that they thought they were going to enter. And Tim Cannon and his attorney did not pay attention to what the defense or what the prosecuting attorney said. And the judge went on thereafter in that hearing, and probably a total of 5 times, the judge himself implicitly warned that this isn't going to work. And part of the reason that Simcannon was held in prison for 7-8 months before he got to trial, for pretrial detention, is the judge said, if this guy wakes up and realizes that his defense is not going to work, he may decide to run. And it's there in the transcript, although not quite as clearly as what I've just said here over the phone, but it's right there. And if Simcannon or his attorney had paid attention, they would have understood that the judge had warned them 4 or 5 times, do not, this is crazy. And the prosecutor had once said, this is crazy. And they went ahead with the good faith defense anyway.
Describe the craziness of the good faith defense.
Good faith defense is like, suppose you've got a couple kids, you appoint me as the babysitter to take care of your children, and you come home and one of the children has had a terrible accident while in my custody. I can sit back and deny that I had anything to do with that. That's one. And I can sit back and say nothing. Deny everything. All right? It's a standard criminal defense. You have to prove that I did something that caused harm to your child. Or I could take a good faith defense. And a good faith defense says, well, yeah, I was the babysitter. And yeah, I failed to protect the child as I was supposed to do. But there were extenuating circumstances.
We have one ourselves. It's called the commercial break. We'll be back right after this.
the Jerry Brownfield Show.
Did you know that the Pentagon has spent billions of dollars developing a ground-based Star Wars-like weapon called HARP, also known as High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project? But it's much more than just a friendly science project. Among the many problems are the unknown effects of HARP on plant, animal, and human life, even the very fabric of space itself. Read the book Angels Don't Play This HARP, as co-authors Dr. Nick Begich and Gene Manning track the abuse of power, deceptive practices, and outright lies of the U.S. government and military. Delivered to your mailbox for $18. Also available from Dr. Nick Begich is Earth Rising, Volume 1, The Revolution, for $21. Get both books for $35. All prices include shipping. Send check, cash, or money order to HARP, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. For credit card orders, call toll-free 1-800-201-7892, extension 23.
If you or a family member is currently without any medical coverage, here's important information. Qualified Health now offers a nationwide medical savings program. The program includes access to hospitals, doctors, dentists, even lab work and prescriptions. To receive free information on this medical savings program that has no restrictions, call toll-free 1-888-900-3001. All your medical needs are included, even on pre-existing conditions. The program also includes $2,000 accidental excess coverage for the added security you need in today's health environment. You'll receive a primary care provider directory, explanation of program terms and conditions, everything you need to answer your questions, and sign up for this complete medical savings program. The Qualified Health National Medical Savings Program. Value to you and your family. Get all the information. Call 1-888-900-3001. That's 1-888-900-3001. If you have no medical coverage, call Qualified Health right now. 1-888-900-3001.
And welcome back. Jeff Thomas sitting in for Jerry today. My guest, Alfred Addis. Alfred and I have been talking about the Dixon Cannon trial. Just sentenced to 7 years last week. Charges, 29 charges from the IRS. The good faith defense, Al was going through the transcripts and giving us his analysis. And Al, you say the problem was his good faith defense, which essentially concedes to the validity of the charges but relies on extenuating circumstances to relieve him of liability.
That's exactly right. His defense should have been to say, no, I'm not the babysitter, and deny the law and deny the facts that were used to convict him. And that's what you do in most criminal trials. You sit back and you'll see the criminal do it all the time. He denies he committed the murder. He denies he was in the place where it took place. He presents whatever evidence he can to refute the elements of the charges. When you use a good faith defense, you implicitly concede the law is valid, that you did all the facts as alleged, and that you would normally be responsible, but you have some extraneous excuse for what happened. Well, if it turns out your excuse doesn't work, you are now guilty because you have implicitly confessed to all the facts in the underlying law. And Tim Cannon didn't understand this because, and I don't believe his attorney understood this, because when they got to, Tim Cannon had done well in front of the grand juries when he'd had an opportunity to present the law as he'd studied it. But once you make the good faith defense, the law becomes irrelevant. You have conceded that the law is valid. You have conceded the facts of the case.
And that will follow
him.
And
therefore, the government did not allow, the judge repeatedly refused some of Tim Cannon's witnesses to get on the stand. One in particular, Jackie Osborne, if I remember the name correctly, wouldn't even let her on the stand. They restricted testimony to only a couple of things. They refused to let certain evidence into the case. And most people interpreted this as evidence that the government was trying to railroad Tim Cannon. Well, the government may have been willing to railroad him, but it wasn't necessary.
No.
By making a good faith defense, he essentially convicted himself. And the government was simply playing according to the rules. They were playing the tune that he had called. He called a good faith defense. The government said, okay, fine. You can't bring in the law. And that was the law was what had defended him against the first two indictments in front of grand juries when they said, you know, I think this guy's right. So they made a classic mistake, and as a result, Dixon Cannon is now facing 7 years.
And this good faith defense will follow him into appeals?
Yeah, it's a terrible problem. The only way that I can see that he'll get out of this. Now, even on appeal, what are you going to appeal if you have implicitly admitted that you committed the crimes as alleged? And that's the implication of the good faith defense. He has confessed. Now he's going to go up on appeal and say, wait, I got a bad shake here. They're going to say, no, you didn't. You confessed. The only chance he's got, in my estimation, and I'm not an attorney, this is a layman's opinion, of course, but in my estimation, his only chance is he's got to allege inadequate assistance of counsel. He's got to say, this idiot that I hired for an attorney, he led me into a good faith defense where I couldn't use my main information, where I had to concede that I was the babysitter, that I was responsible, and that I failed to perform my responsibilities. What he should have done is come in there from the beginning and show people the law and prove that he was not the babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been his defense. He failed to do that. Now he's got a terrible problem. He's got to, in my opinion, he's got to fire that attorney, charge him with inadequate assistance of counsel, and he can demonstrate it because the judge in the transcript and the prosecutor, there's 5 or 6 instances where the judge and prosecutor said, this is crazy. You got to be nuts. And they didn't pay attention. They went ahead anyway. Nelson Cannon pays the price. It's evidence that he did have inadequate assistance of counsel. And if he can make that case, he may be able to get a remand. I don't believe he's going to get an acquittal. He's not going to get a reversal. He might be able to get a remand, which is to say that he would be tried a second time. But even that is going to be hard to get in less than probably 2 or 3 years. Because, again, this trial was politically motivated. They had to stop Sim Cannon at any cost, and that's exactly what they did. They indicted him 3 times before they could get an indictment. Tried him 2x before they could get a conviction. And if they had to try him 4 times or 10 times, they'd keep trying him until they got a conviction. It had to be done from their perspective. And in context, right now, I published the little magazine we mentioned, the Anti-Shyster, since 1990. During that time, I can remember no time when the government went after more than one leader in the tax resistance movement at a time. You'd hear they'd target somebody about every 2 years or so, 3 years, something like that. There'd be one guy that'd have a serious problem. Right now, there are at least 6 and perhaps as many as 10 leaders in the tax resistance movement who are all being simultaneously targeted by the IRS. They're being prosecuted. A guy named Eddie Kane in Florida. Lynn Meredith was just convicted yesterday. She faces somewhere between 5 and 50 years. She'll find out in a month or two whenever she's out in California. Bill Benson is facing the problem. Stephen Swan was convicted, and I think he's facing something like 10, 12 years in prison. Erwin Schiff out in Las Vegas, he's being indicted right now. And the point, I can think of at least 6 individuals that are prominent, and there's probably 8, maybe 10. That are being simultaneously prosecuted by the IRS. My guess is that's unprecedented. It's evidence that the government has simply said we can't deal with this tax resistance movement. We've got to shut them down, and we're going to put them down hard. These trials are politically motivated.
Alfred Adisk is my guest today, sitting in for Derry Brownfield. Al is writer, research, and lone editor of the Anti-Shyster online magazine. That's www.antishyster.net. Hey, we'll open phone lines right after this.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
We are in a battle. Our freedom is at stake, and more importantly, the freedom of our children, grandchildren, and future generations are at stake. Fighting the good fight seems futile at times, but there's one thing you can do to turn the tide. By supporting the Paragon Foundation, you support individuals committed to fighting the elements in our country that want to take away your private property rights and your right to work and live where you choose. The Paragon Foundation provides financial support to individuals and organizations involved in litigation, education, research, and exchange of ideas that offset the prevailing force in our society that is attempting to destroy our constitutional freedoms. The Paragon Foundation carefully scrutinizes every request for financial support to ensure that mission statement is fulfilled. All donations are tax deductible
Administrative costs are kept as low as possible so you know that your donations make a difference. So do make a difference today. Support the Paragon Foundation by calling toll-free 877-847-3443. You know, there's so much going on these days, there's no way I could possibly cover everything in my one-hour talk show. And that's why I begin my monthly newsletter, The Common Sense Chronicle. And nearly 6 years later, it's still going, because there's still too much to cover on a daily basis. So you need The Common Sense Chronicle just to keep up on the real news. Each month in The Chronicle, I cover stories that politically correct newsrooms would never consider running. Which is why it's so important that you stay informed. So give yourself a subscription today by sending a check, cash, or money order for $24.95 to Newsletter. That's Post Office Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Check, cash, or money order for $24.95 to Newsletter. That's Post Office Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. This coming Saturday, May the 8th, Wendell Fleshman will be holding a special cow-calf parent bull sale at the Milan, Missouri Livestock Auction. Already consigned is a nice run of good young cows and pairs, including a complete herd dispersal of 170 head. Now, this one offering includes 60 black and black baldy 5- to 8-year-old cows with calves by their sides, 40 3-year-old fancy Angus cows with babies, 40 Charolais and Red Angus, good ages, 11 black baldy heifers with calves by their side, and several red white face older cows with calves on the ground. Also, Big K Ranch has consigned 100 head of fall calving 3- to 6-year-old blacks. Also, another complete dispersal of 40 black and black baldy cows with big calves by their side. Highland Red Angus will be offering 7 registered Red Angus breeding age bulls sired by Make My Day. For more information, give Wendell a call at 660-265-5523.
This is the Jerry Brownfield Show. And here's the star of the show. Now the man who says, man will occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of the time he'll pick himself up and continue on. Jerry Brownfield.
And we are back. Our toll-free number here is 1-800-973-3779, 1-800-973-3779. My guest today is Alfred Addis, and Terry is in Missouri. Terry, what's on your mind today?
Well, I have 2 points to make. One of the first mistakes people make is they take an attorney. An attorney is an officer of the court. A lawyer is somebody who studies the law, and I know this because I was married to a lawyer. He hasn't used paper or plastic, which people call money, in 20 years. He just barters and uses gold or silver. Secondly, he used to teach that if you use the Federal Reserve note, then the privilege of using the note is you have to pay the income tax, and that's where these tax movements get people into trouble. The income tax is the privilege to use the note that the Federal Reserve is so benevolent and lets you use. So it's not money, it's just credit, and it's the privilege. That's why you have to pay income tax. In order to avoid prosecution, you don't use it. Just barter or use silver and gold, which is real money.
Terry, thanks for the call. Al?
Terry is a very intelligent woman. She's very knowledgeable, and I agree with everything she said. I'm very much surprised to have anyone call in with that kind of information, who has that kind of knowledge. Because it's hard to get, it's not merely hard to understand, it's hard to believe that what she just said is true. But it is, she's right. Alright, it is by virtue of using the legal tender, the Federal Reserve notes, that creates the obligation for paying income tax. It is a privilege, and the reason being that you don't own the physical pieces of paper that are in your pocket. You get to use them in a trust relationship, but you don't own them. And there's an enormous difference. Your Federal Reserve note only carries intrinsic, equitable title. Anything you purchase with Federal Reserve notes, you get to use it, you get to possess it, but you don't really own it. The legal title to the Federal Reserve note remains with the party that put the note, that loaned the note into circulation. And that's the Federal Reserve System. Technically, the Federal Reserve System winds up owning, at least in my opinion, they wind up owning virtually every piece of property that you purchase with Federal Reserve notes. and for the privilege of using these worthless pieces of paper to actually possess tangible products like cars and homes and computers and so on, you are charged essentially a privilege tax. But you haven't paid any of your debts. You've merely purchased items. You haven't discharged your debt. You haven't bought. You've merely purchased. You haven't paid your debts. You've merely discharged them. It's complex. It's hard to believe. It's difficult to understand. But for what it's worth, if someone wants to stop by and visit my website again at antishyster.net, that's antishyster.net, we've got one issue of the magazine, goes back to about 1998, if I recall correctly, that deals with money, primarily. And some of the arguments that Terry just talked about and that I'm trying to amplify or at least support, we explain it more fully at that location.
All right. Hey, don't underestimate our audience, Al.
Well, that's that. I mean, Terry's very, I mean, that's unusual to find anybody who grasps this to that depth.
We have them in gobs and bunches. Sam is in Missouri. What's on your mind, Sam?
I just wanted to comment one thing that I think people need to be aware of, and I brought this to the attention of several people in the tax honesty movement and not gotten a big response on it. And that is, while they're out here fighting this, I don't think they're looking at the big picture, because what I foresee coming down the pike is a time where they may say, yeah, that income tax is a bad tax. You know, we really need to get rid of that. Meanwhile, the Bush administration has been quietly sitting with a national sales tax on the back burner that could be as bad, if certainly worse in some ways, because you'll be taxed over and over and over again every time you go and buy something.
I think the national sales tax scares the government enormously. And the reason is this. The income tax that we use right now is graduated. And they can put one tax rate on people that make $100,000 a year and another tax rate on people that make $20,000 a year. And through that, they've been able to use a divide-and-conquer strategy, where first they complain that the people that are making $100,000 a year aren't paying their full share and we need to raise their taxes. After we adjust to them being taxed at a particularly relatively high rate, then they say, even those poor people making $20,000, they're not paying their full share. We need to raise their tax rates. And then they say, oh, wait, now the people that are making a lot of money, they're not. Well, the point is they keep whipsawing and ratcheting the tax rate up. With the national sales tax, it would be a flat tax. No matter what the number was, it would be a flat tax. And everyone, rich and poor, would agree when the government came in, if they said the tax was 20%. When government came back and said, we need to raise the tax to 21%, because, boy, we really got some serious problems, everyone, rich and poor and middle class, would agree, no, we don't want to pay more taxes. There's no opportunity for a divide-and-conquer strategy with a flat tax rate. And in fact, what would inevitably happen is once they set the tax rate at, say, 20% or 17%, some people have talked about, inevitably someone is going to run for public office and says, vote for me, and I'll cut the tax rate to 16%. Well, then they're going to have another candidate stand up and say, no, vote for me. I'll cut it to 15%. And very shortly, we're going to have contests among the candidates as to who will cut taxes the most to get elected. As a result, I don't believe the government wants a flat tax. They want this individual income tax. They want a graduated income tax because they can use it to play the people.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, we appreciate you listening, Sam. Also listening in Nebraska, Kenny, you're on the air.
Morning, Jeff.
Go right ahead, Kenny.
I'd like to say thank you for KWL for putting you on the air. But I'd also like to say that through our fight, when I got involved with this, I did it for a spiritual reason, but through our fight, we've learned a lot of things. Three things that are most important in this, I don't know what these guys, that this gentleman, his name is Alfred.
That's right.
Has suggested that maybe these guys went in it the wrong way is why they're being investigated and being tried. But when you ask for a verified tax bill and a certified assessment signed and make the offer to pay, there is nothing that they can do for that.
Well, you may be correct. I hear a number, I'm aware of a lot of different strategies, and I don't know of one of them that hasn't worked, at least in some instances. But the reality is I also don't know of one single tax strategy that is absolutely foolproof. What seems to happen is that if they don't want you very bad, and if you have some credible theory of defense, and they're made aware of it at the administrative level, then there's a high probability that the case will simply disappear and you won't be prosecuted. That isn't necessarily because your defense is valid legally. Sometimes it's simply because you're more trouble than you're worth. And it's hard to separate the defenses that are truly valid, if there are such, against those that are simply so much trouble the government says, I'm not going to waste my time with another one of these crazy patriots who's arguing he doesn't have to pay taxes for this. We can handle the paperwork on 1,000 people and collect money out of them merely by intimidating them in the time that we devote to one lawsuit against one lone patriot. The point I'm making is, if they don't want you personally, and you can make any kind of a credible defense, they tend to let you go.
Well, for instance,
but if you have made a statement like Sim Cannon has, where he jumped up in public, took out ads in the newspaper, told the IRS, made a public spectacle of himself, essentially, and directly challenged the IRS, they're coming for it.
That's
and
right.
Now, I don't care what defense you've got, they will convict at any cost. This is a political process. This is not about law. This is about politics.
I agree. For instance, Bernice Kuglin, or Kuglin.
Sure.
You know, she was found innocent by the jury.
Yep.
But the problem is, they're coming after her now civilly.
Uh-huh.
They're garnishing 100% of her wages.
Yep.
And I believe if she would ask for the verified tax bill, the certified assessment, and make an offer to pay, she'll win again. Without an attorney, for sure.
Yeah. You know, someone else made the point, matter of fact, I think it was the lady Terry that called up earlier, said she was married to an attorney.
Yeah.
If you, those of you who have a copy of, I believe it's Black's fourth edition of Black's Law Dictionary, and it might be in some of the others, but I believe Black's fourth has it for sure. If you look at the definition of in propria persona, I-N-P-R-O-P-R-I-A-P-E-R-S-O-N-A, I believe I'm spelling it correctly. If you look up that definition, it defines a person who goes to court without an attorney. And it concedes that because attorneys are officers of the court, if you take an attorney, you concede the court's jurisdiction.
Correct.
Okay? Yep. Now there it is, it's right there. And part of the consequence of this is there are some people who understand that at least in criminal process, the government has a very serious obstacle in trying to convict someone who doesn't take an attorney. It is by virtue of taking an attorney that frequently you wind up conceding jurisdiction to the government to prosecute you for criminal trials.
Hey, Kenny, Al, we have to take a break, but we'll come back to the both of you right after this. Our toll-free number is 1-800-973-3779. Jeff Thomas sitting in for Derry Brownfield.
Is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Do you have a personal injury case and need money now? Have you been turned down by family, friends, and banks? Are you out of options for the money you need? If so, Whitehaven can help. If you need money now and can't wait for your case to settle, call Whitehaven Funding at 1-800-998-5577. In exchange for an interest in your pending case, Whitehaven Funding advances money to injured victims who need money now. The money provided can help with foreclosure, bankruptcy, and eviction, but you can use the money any way you like. Call 1-800-998-5577 for details. That's 1-800-998-5577. If your case is not successful, you keep their money and don't have to pay it back. That's right. If you lose your case, you keep the money and don't have to pay them back. Just call 1-800-998-5577. Again, if you have a pending personal injury claim and have no place else to turn for money, call Whitehaven Funding at 1-800-998-5577. 1-800-998-5577.
Almost 1 million Americans got something that they didn't want last year, a heart attack. Okay, so that's bad news for those people, but that's not you, right? Do you barely have time for breakfast or lunch, only fast food or a quick snack, not enough sleep, and very little or no physical activity? Is this starting to sound a little too familiar? It's our lifestyle and diet that's killing us. But there is a solution. Now you can take simple steps to avoid a future heart attack, emergency room, angioplasty, and bypass heart surgery with chelation therapy. Cardio One is chelation therapy made easy. Cardio One removes arterial plaque from your body, and that may help reduce your risk of heart attack by as much as 85%.
and improve your overall health dramatically. Get your 30-day supply of Cardio One today. To order, send $43.95 check, cash, or money order to Cardio One, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. That's Cardio One, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. On March 18, 1869, President Grant signed an act to strengthen the public credit. One provision of that act declared that the public faith is solemnly pledged to the payment of the interest and non-interest bearing obligations of the government. That's right, the American people, as indentured slaves, were pledged as collateral for the national debt. Hard to believe? Read The Coming Battle. First published in 1899, The Coming Battle details the complete early history of the Federal Reserve System using congressional records, newspaper reports, and writings of the Founding Fathers. The Coming Battle is a must-read for every American who wants to know when and where our country went wrong. To order The Coming Battle in paperback, send $24, check, cash, or money order to The Coming Battle, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. For credit card orders, call toll-free 1-800-201-7892, extension 23. And we are back. And just for the sake of time and trying to get everybody in that we can, Kenny, one follow-up, and then we'll move on.
I'd like to ask Alfred there. Now, this Bernice Kuglin is taking advice from Bob Schultz, and you know Bob Schultz, we the people. Here's a gentleman that doesn't even know that we have 51 constitutions in the United States. Now, how in the world is she going to win with some advice like that?
Well, I see this as a political process. This is not ultimately about the law. The fact that she's taking any kind of stand or that Bob Schultz is taking any kind of stand by itself is important. I doubt that any of us have perfect information, including me, certainly. But if you stand up, all by itself, that carries great weight. And I'm in favor of anybody who does anything to try to resist this injustice, even if their attempt is less perfect than we might hope for.
Thanks for the call, Kenny. Roger in Pennsylvania. What's on your mind, Roger?
Yeah, thanks, Kent. I'm of course afraid that without retiring the income tax, we would get the sales tax and it would rapidly degenerate into that awful VAT tax as well. And what really disturbs me is you hear people who only selectively appropriate from the Austrian School of Economics, Ludwig von Mises, etc., and they never seem to contrast the tyranny of the income tax versus the tariffs for revenue. Your comment?
Well, I think what you're saying is that the income tax is being made, is being maintained more for the purpose of control than it is for revenue. Is that essentially what you're saying?
Yes, that, and as the federal government must have some source for revenue, probably only a fifth of what it currently takes in, and of course all that awful spending, which is superfluous.
Well, the government can have all the revenue it wants. You know, there's no real reason, there's no compelling reason why the government, for example, can't issue greenbacks, which is what John F. Kennedy wanted to do prior to his assassination. In other words, instead of going through the Federal Reserve System, they would simply print the money and issue it from the government. Now, the government would get free use of this money. That's a fact. And they could print however much they wanted to use to pay their bills, but in that way they could put it into circulation. We wouldn't need the Federal Reserve System. We wouldn't need all the credit apparatus that we have right now. I don't know that it's a perfect solution, but the government has options. And they don't take advantage of those options because those options do not result in control, and that's what the government really wants. We hear a lot about this as the land of the free, but it's increasingly obvious that that's not the truth.
Alfred, we're going to take another break here. It's the final break of the hour. Thanks for the call, Roger. We'll try to get to other calls right after we come back. The number here is 1-800-973-3779. Alfred's online website is www.antishyster.net. antishyster.net. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Jerry Brownfield Show.
This coming Saturday, May the 8th, Wendell Fleshman will be holding a special cow-calf pair and bull sale at the Milan, Missouri Livestock Auction. Already consigned is a nice run of good young cows and pairs, including a complete herd dispersal of 170 head. Now, this one offering includes 60 black and black baldy 5 to 8 year old cows with calves by their sides, 40 3 year old fancy Angus cows with babies, 40 Charolais and red Angus, good ages, 11 black baldy heifers with calves by their side, and several red white face older cows with calves on the ground. Also, Big K Ranch has consigned 100 head of fall calving 3 to 6 year old blacks. Also, another complete dispersal of 40 black and black baldy cows with big calves by their side. Highland Red Angus will be offering 7 registered red Angus breeding age bulls sired by Make My Day. For more information, give Wendell a call at 660-265-5523. There once was an American truism, sound is a dollar, but now it's just a bad joke. For example, if the dollar is so sound, why has it lost so much buying power over the past few decades? Well, I'll tell you why. Paper dollars started losing values after we abandoned the gold and silver standard back in 1965. And the cost of living has been rising ever since. But here's a simple solution from the tangible experts at Swiss America. Convert some of your paper dollars into silver and gold dollars, which are 100% inflation-proof. It's just that simple. Learn to protect and grow your dollars today. Ask for Swiss America's latest report and CD. It's a $25 value, but free by calling 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUYCOIN. And remember, if you want a sound dollar, make sure some of your dollars sound like this. 1-800-BUYCOIN.
It's the fastest hour in radio, so therefore I'm going to give our next two callers, 30 seconds to ask, and Al, I'll give you 30 seconds to answer. Back to the phone lines, Larry in Indiana. What's on your mind, Larry?
What was Lynn Meredith finally convicted of, and what's the difference between inappropriate persona and pro se?
Lynn Meredith was convicted. I just saw the email last night. There was a, if I recall correctly, I think there's a conspiracy charge. There's non-payment, using a false social security number. There's half a dozen charges on there. And I have no idea what the validity of all those charges are, but half a dozen, and according to the email I saw, they collectively add up to 50 years imprisonment if the sentences are run consecutively. If they're concurrent, she'll do at least 5 years is what the implication. My guess is she's going to see something like 10 years on this thing, but I can't, you know, I'm not prophesying, I'm just guessing. The difference between impropria persona and pro se means for yourself. It indicates that you're acting in a representative capacity, where impropriate persona indicates that you're standing entirely on your own. You represent no one. You are just there all by yourself. This is kind of a complex insight. We aren't going to have time enough to get into it right now, but that's the guts of it. You don't want to be a representative when you go to court.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for the response. Carol is in, you're in Idaho. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen, for a fascinating discussion. Quickly, though, going back to the legitimacy of the idea of a national sales tax, aren't we freedom fighters and constitutionalists, even to consider it, aren't we sort of flying in the face of our founders who had the competency to set up a very valid means by which the federal government, kept within its bounds, would be financed? If we accept any other thing than what the Constitution outlines, aren't we surrendering to an evil system?
Well, I'm more or less inclined to agree with what you're doing, but again, I look at this as a political process rather than a legal process, and one step back is better headed in the right direction. It's better to get back and head in that right direction than it is to just refuse to take a step unless we can be at the exact destination we want to get to.
I won't say that I'm right in that opinion, but that's the way I look at it. If we can make any progress, it's better than no progress.
What's that, Carol?
I said as long as we insist on going in that constitutional direction.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. Al, our time is just about up, but before we get off of the air, I want to tell our listeners, give them an update on a mutual friend of ours, David Baugh. David was a one-time guest on the Derry Brownfield show when I hosted, and we discussed the right-to-travel issue. David has been on that issue for 10, 12 years now, and he sits incarcerated at the Moberly Correctional Center in Moberly, Missouri, on Class D felony charges, criminal convictions on civil infractions, essentially what it boils down to. But I wanted to direct our listeners to his website where they could read some of Dave's information, get in contact with Dave, give him support. And his web address is davebaugh.blogspot.com. That's on my website, which is studio-c.blogspot.com, which you can get to by going to DerryBrownfield.com. And on my website today, I'll put a link to Al's website. Alfred Addisk has been our guest for the past 1 hour, antishyster.net. Al, we have about a minute. I'll give it to you.
Well, we live in interesting times, the old Chinese curse, and one of the points that we see with the government's attack on half a dozen or 10 leaders in the tax resistance movement, these people are getting close. The truth of the matter is the tax resistance movement may not be perfect, but it's very close to having a solid legal argument on why the income taxes are wrong or they don't apply to most people. That's part of the reason, and I believe the heart of the reason, why the government is coming down so hard on 8 or 10 people. Don't give up is my point. If you're involved in it, keep researching, keep reading, keep staying involved. Don't let them scare you off, because that's the purpose of these big convictions. Scare people. Don't be intimidated. Good Lord's, I think, on our side, and with a little bit of luck, we may yet prevail.
Amen to that. Al, thanks very much for being our guest, and thanks very much for listening. Have a great day. Gotta go. See you later. Bye.
Happy trails.